What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Woman Be Healed podcast, the podcast all about acknowledging the opportunity to heal, harnessing the power of forgiveness by leaning on God and community. I'm your host, Rashonda Powell. In the words of my godfather, any day above ground is a good day. It's all about perspective, y'all. Look around you and count your blessings. It could have been another way, but God saw fit to place you right here and right now. I hope y'all have been doing magnificent. I mean, and if it ain't been all glitter and gold, listen, God will turn those ashes into beauty, so you just keep on pushing. It's been what it is on my side, and I'm gonna have to find another saying, but honestly, I've been finding beauty and blessings in so many things. God has just been blessing me so much. He's been challenging me in a lot of areas, and the devil has been attacking me in areas too. You know, it's been going, but I've been finding myself beginning to say more. God always provides. God always turns it around. He always makes the way, and I trust him. And it's just been that. I used to have a hard time saying that and truly believing it, because I have a habit of tampering with things and trying to do things in my own strength and in my own timing, you know, not really being patient and sitting in the fact that God is divine in every area. He sits on the throne in every area. He holds time, space, and everything in between and under his dominion. And truly asking myself, what is my problem to a God that tells the wind to sit still, the waters to quiet, the sun to shine today? And I've seen it done so personable and relatable to me in so many areas. It's not just a nice thing to say that God does these things. It's real. It's real to me. And I love the fact that it's becoming a habit, you know, with me now to think about how God always makes a way for me, how he's literally always on time. And on time ain't always your time. You feel me? And sometimes it's literally the day that I feel like I can't take it anymore. Done boo cried, questioning, like, why is it like this? Or why is it like that? And when is this going to turn around? And God is like, if you would only trust me. And God is a God of repetition, because to be completely honest, we're creatures of habit. And typically, we have to unlearn that bad habits and create new ones. So sometimes he'll continuously allow you to go in a certain space or to and through certain things in our lives to show you, hey, you know, look, does this look familiar? Did that work last time? You know, what worked or who worked it out? Where did you begin to turn to? You know, what were you doing when you were here last time? And then it's like, yeah, now you're getting it. Keep praying, keep reading, keep depending on me. Stop stressing, stop worrying, start praising, you know, even before it turns. Start speaking to that situation, cast down those strongholds. And God is like, oh, okay, now you're getting it. And it may go like that until God has you exactly where he wants you and builds you into the you that he knows. And then, you know, get ready, because he throws some good things in there. But the difference now, you know, from my before mindset and building up and having that habit is, you know, you begin to get that strength and that heart and the posture, you know, to do and be everything that God has lined up for you and he had lined up for you from jump, right? And it's all for, you know, his glory and for your good. So the past few weeks for me has definitely been a challenge in a lot of areas. But I know God is in control at the beginning and at the end of the day. And I'm going to continue to do what I know and trust that God is going to work it out. And I'm praying the same for you, you and you. Okay. I've been out a little while, you know, and it's because my podcast mic broke and my laptop just wasn't cooperating with any of my backup recording methods. So I was trying to get that together, but it's cool. When I got it together, y'all, I broke my laptop, you know, and that was just a mess too. So anywho, you know, it's all together now. And I had a few weeks to just be and build up some anticipation, okay? But today, I want to talk about the importance of community and the community you keep. And I always try to come, you know, to y'all as personal as I can, because you never know how that will open someone else's heart and situation. I was real tight-lipped with a lot of things growing up. And I'm not going to lie, I still am, depending on the person and the situation. Not because I'm a secretive person, but because you get a lot of scars from people that don't have your best interests at heart. And to learn that people don't have your best interests at heart, you get a lot of scars. You feel me? So I became a person that didn't choose to share anything serious with anyone. You know, those thoughts and those things were mine to bear. No one would be able to use anything against me or make me feel any type of way but those things. No one would be able to tell me how I felt or did or anything, you know, about what I felt or did, because they never really knew how I felt. And nobody would be able to know if I was hurt because I wouldn't show that I was hurt. And I really began to build this really nonchalant demeanor. And also one that laughed in the face of a lot of things rather than show any other emotion. And I didn't respond to situations. If they came up, I would just cut you off altogether rather than let you know, I didn't rock with anything you just said or did. It was more so, hey, I ain't like that. And I'm finna head out kind of thing. And if you know me, I'm just a person that loves to laugh anyway. And I also don't have too many people that I call friend. You know, that's an earned badge with me. But humor and isolating became my defense mechanisms. I hid behind humor. I will only tell personal stories that I thought were funny and not too deep. So that's how my relationships tended to be, light and not too deep. You were just an acquaintance if I talked to you. But with those kind of relationships, how can you know if anything is real? Like, how can you know if it really came down to it, if I chose to share anything with you beyond what I have, how can I know how you would handle it and me? And that was the point. I didn't want to know. But I also would use this defense mechanism to watch people and I would watch how they operate, even with the little things that I share. So say I shared a light story with somebody and I heard it somewhere else. I knew that person was loose-lipped. And if I shared something slight with somebody and they responded in a weird way, then I knew I couldn't trust them with anything deep because they didn't put any respect on their response. And I also had to learn that everybody doesn't have the same level of compassion, empathy, respect, genuineness, and grace. And that's how I operated for a long time. I didn't trust anybody. And I can't say that I've completely grown from that, but if you're listening to this right now, then this is proof that I've grown, because this is personal and I'm telling y'all some of my trade secrets here, okay? But seriously, sometimes we hide behind something in an effort to protect ourselves when we're only doing ourselves harm. And I hurt myself for a long time holding that stuff in. But when God begins to mold you, when God begins to work on you, he begins to reveal some things to you about yourself that you're just like, dang. And a lot of the things that were revealed to me came from the mouths of the people that I should have had trust in, but I was reluctant to trust anybody. And it was a battle. Can I share something with y'all, like personal? I've been with my husband for 11 years. And when I tell you, I have never met a person that has a loyalty that matches his. I mean that with every fiber of my being, every bone in my body. But even still, I gave him a hard time for years because I didn't trust anyone. And I also didn't understand his loyalty and I didn't understand his protection. It was a level of genuine love I didn't see, or I wasn't, you know, experienced in. So I didn't know how to handle it. So I ran from it for years. And I know that sounds crazy, but have you ever wanted something so bad, but you're scared. So you're in it. You have it, but you're still running. I felt like that as long as I stood there and just loved my husband in the way that I knew how to love, everything would be okay. But the thing with somebody loving you the right way is they begin to see things in you. They notice things about you, the way you carry yourself. They observe how you move, right? They can see like the way you hold your mouth when you get mad, or the way you shrink back in certain areas, or the people that you feel comfortable around, they start to notice that. Your favorite food, your moods. I mean, they see you. And because they see you and because they love you, they'll begin to eventually call you out on some things. And they begin to say, hey, I know you're saying you can't do this. Or I know you're saying you're not like this, or you are like this. But I've been watching you. And I saw this instance where you were extremely affectionate, or you were sociable, or you were gentle or assertive, outspoken, creative, whatever the case may be. And you're saying that that's not you, or you're saying that this is you, but I see this in you. Or, oh no, I see that this is happening in you. What's going on? Because this isn't your norm. And the defense in us can roar and really come out and scream, that's not me, or this is me. You know, you don't know how I grew up. I never saw this, or I experienced this, and this is the product. And sometimes we even go so far and say, accept me or leave. And if you got a fighter and a good one, most of the time when that person loves you, they push back and they keep challenging you and they keep pushing you and keep encouraging you, even when you don't want to be encouraged. And it's funny because sometimes we can be the most encouraging and supporting, and I see this in you, to others. But when the finger is pointed back at us, giving us tough love and encouraging and supporting and saying, we can't comprehend it. We don't want to accept it. We can't see it. And we are our own blind spot and our worst critic, even though we can give it out so easy. It's so hard for us to accept it. But that love, that I see you love, that's what God has. That's the love God gives. And if you're like me, I mean, God showed me the common denominator in our lack of trust is people, of course. We don't trust people. But God isn't people. And God wants you to trust him so he can send you the right people. I was reading John, and there's a story about Jesus when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover. It says that many believed in Jesus because of all the works he had shown, but Jesus didn't entrust himself to them because he knew the heart of men. And I've never heard that preached before. And it was so good to me because I'm like, whoa. Even Jesus said, nah, I'm good on that. I'm good on people. But I also had to think of how Jesus worked in general. Like, just because he knew that man's heart was deceitful or is deceitful, because we be swinging like the wind, y'all. You already know. Don't even get offended. That didn't change, or that didn't even turn his heart from us. That didn't change the way he led. It didn't change the way or who he healed or who he spoke to or who he allowed in his company or him carrying the cross and dying for us. It didn't change that. The thing is, overall, he trusted God the Father, the God in him, to know exactly who to choose for disciples, where to go, who to challenge for God's will to be done through him. He picked the 12 disciples. The disciples turned from him. Some of them did, but the 12 stayed with him. And he said, okay, these 12 will be with me, but one is a devil, Judas. So, people, my God. But just trust God the Father. Even after I say all that, community is still so important. So important. In like the later part of my high school years, I began to become a person that didn't really hang with a group. And I knew a lot of people, but they were more so my acquaintances. And that's because I was already hurt to what I felt like was beyond repair. But the thing with that, in isolation is where a lot more damage is done. It's just what you think. It's just your thoughts. And if you're not feeding your mind and heart with the right things mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, then you're malnourished. And that's unhealthy. And it's just making yourself more vulnerable to the enemy's attacks if we aren't feeding our minds right and being fortified in Christ. But a community of like-minded people, not casting you down, not throwing stones, but uplifting you and encouraging you and on the same path as you, that's the kind of community we need. The kind that will hold you with positive accountability. The kind that will hold you up when you're hurting. That will cheer you on with not a speck of envy in sight, okay? Just all love. And I say this again, I've been writing the same episode for about 2 to 3 weeks, you know, procrastinating and also building upon it. But I'm honestly glad I sat on it for a long time and then just, you know, kind of had the problems in between because I got so much clarity and confirmation in the in-between. And then my pastor even preached a sermon and mentioned community and, you know, the importance of it, which is always so dope to me because when you're in alignment, that's just what God does. He just gives you confirmation and just to let you know, hey, this is what I said to you and this is what you heard and this is what you see kind of thing. But on Friday, well, last Friday, my husband and I were just, you know, sitting on the couch watching TV and he asked me a question. And the question was, does my lack of trust come from influence or experience? And what he meant by that was, did me not trusting people come from, you know, personally experiencing things or from other people putting me up on game? Y'all know, you know, the stigmas and statistics like all men cheat, all women are secretive, or, you know, you can't trust a woman when she gets silent, or when she walks behind you, that means she's ashamed of you. I mean, we got so many, to be honest. You know, and it just sounds crazy because most of the things, you know, come from old heads, of course. But it seems crazy to admit it. But even sometimes just hearing those sayings, they get embedded in you. Like if your mom tells you every day that your dad ain't ish, no matter what he does for you, that thought is always going to linger in your head and may potentially lead how you view everything negative that comes from your father, even if it's unintentional. Because sometimes the words of influence from the people you're influenced by can become so strong, it's hard for you to lean on or believe any other reasoning. We've all heard of the term under the influence, but we automatically go to like drinking or drugs. But do you know you can be under the influence of bad community? He's a bad influence. She's a bad influence. Baby, I've heard this so many times about some of the people I hung with around in my earlier years. And when you're younger, you hate to hear that because you try to see the good in people. You see the background of your friends' lives and you understand and try to give them the benefit of the doubt. But the thing when in experience and influence meet, that's a battle. I couldn't stand when someone older and that really cared for me would try to you know, tell me, trust me, that's not a person you want to hang around with. Or if you know somebody's feeling you, and one of your persons of influence will tell you, you know, be careful. And you're just like, all right, but I'm going to try it anyway. And then sometimes that experience beat the influence. And it was a humbling experience. But then on the other hand, you may have had somebody tell you, nah, don't go to the interview. They don't seem like they're a good fit for you. Or nah, sis, he don't seem like he into you. Meanwhile, those are the people that were praying for your downfall for the entire time and lead you wrong because of envy or misery or whatever the case may be. The thing with influence, y'all see where I kind of gave y'all two sides of the same coin? If I listened to everything everyone told me about their experience, I would be influenced and never have experienced my own. no matter how hurtful or how good. The difference in those two scenarios is the community you keep and who you allow to influence you. And my answer to my husband was experience, because I was definitely a hard-headed thing. I'm the definition of, I'm gonna see for myself, in my best Ariel Fitz voice. My lack of trust came from experience. I experienced shame, disloyalty, disrespect, love, domestic violence, and more from personal experience. And I learned a thing or three about the company you keep. And it drove me to isolation. It drove me not to trust people. But then I had to learn to trust God. And I leaned into God for relationships. And I learned to pray. And I learned to pray, remove anyone from around me that's not for me. Y'all know that prayer. Oof, baby. He starts snatching people up out your life like hotcakes. I mean it. But I had to pray, because anyone and anything that comes into my life that's not from God and not, you know, of God, no attachments should be made. That's what I had to start praying. And I had to pray for healthy relationships with godly people, people that love and respect me and care for me genuinely and not for their own gain. And that was it, you know? And if you know me, I'm not a new friends type person. And my husband, what? You know, if I ever agree to lunch, brunch, dinner with you or whatever the case may be, and you win me over, baby, my husband is a whole nother breed, a whole nother breed. I feel like God sent him to be a whole gatekeeper, because what you ain't going to do is get access to Rashawn easily. Okay. But, you know, it's a blessing and a hassle sometimes. But baby, I love my bodyguard. I mean, my husband. Seriously, though, what does God tell us about the community and the community we keep? Well, I looked it up. One of my favorite verses that popped up was Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. A dull blade can't do nothing for me, baby. I mean, nothing. And that means your friends have to be like-minded with you. I can't stand being the smartest person in the room. You're going to have to challenge me, or I'm going to exit stage left, because I got to help you and you got to help me. And it's not for a quid pro quo kind of thing. That just means we both growing, or I'm going. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. You know, one is good, but two or three, it don't even got to be many. If I can call or text you and say, hey, sis, I ain't been feeling myself lately. Pray for me. That's a blessing. Because if I'm praying, that's so good. But sometimes I ain't got the strength. And you come in and say, I got you. And you send one up for me and let me say amen. God is there. That's community. Romans 1:12 says, that is that you and I be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And that goes back to the previous scripture. Since if I don't have it, you got me. And if you don't got it, you better believe I got you. And as a matter of fact, you don't even have to say anything, because your name graces my prayer journal every week. And finally, Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Boom. Community is so important. The right community, good and godly people. To fellowship with one another is pertinent in the uplifting and upkeep of your faith and push forward in Christ. It sustains you. And it don't have to be in a church building. It don't have to be 10 people. It don't have to be 5. It don't even have to be 4. You can have that one person that you truly, you know, connect with and fellowship with. And yes, I'm one of those that say your body is a temple, because God said it, you know, in the Bible too. It's in there. I grew up in church all my life, and I can tell you that I felt more free outside of the physical building And I like to go occasionally, but I found more fulfillment in attending online e-group, volunteering, via email, and going to brunch and speaking about God with my girls or women that hit me up and asked if I want to go out than I have ever felt in a building of community that tore me down, the right community. So however you find your community and whomever you find community with, as long as you ask God to lead you to the right people and lead the right people to you and ask for discernment to know the difference, God will surround you with a community that loves you and prays for you. And sometimes they may even have to pray for you to get through things and intercede for you when you find yourself unable. And it's truly a blessing to have community. And that's coming from a person that lacked trust for so long. And I still have some. I'm healing. But in the end, remember, even if you don't have that, God is your ultimate confidant. God is your community. Trust is hard. I get it. And I understand. But if you're like me and you feel like you can't trust people, trust God first. He'll lead you. I'm always here for you. And you better bet I'm always praying for you. And all of my listeners, however, 1, 2, 3, 10, whatever the case may be, and believers in Christ, it is what it is. Until next time, y'all.